to thank you for each one here today. I thank you, Father, for today. It's a beautiful day. I pray you help us to walk with you and to listen to you and to love you and to know you better and to just grow in you and to be the people that you call us to be more and more every day. Thank you for the tenderness and that you have for us. Your love is immeasurable for us, but so is your grace and your mercy immeasurable toward us. And help us, Father, to reflect on our own lives and how you relate to us, how you show us mercy, how you show us grace, how you interact with us, that we might follow your example to us and use grace and mercy in our lives with those around us. Help us to just to love and to be merciful, to be kind, to be gracious. Everything that you want us to be, as you are our example, help us to live out your character. Bless your word, Father, as we look at it today. May it feed hearts. May it comfort hearts. May it encourage hearts. May it bring you glory. May it cause our hearts, Father, to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look today at the throne of mercy and grace. We really need to praise God and thank God for how he is merciful to us and how he is gracious to us. The fact that he's always interacting in our lives in a loving and good way. Today we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want to remind you that the Lord's Supper is for any person here that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the condition that you are obviously saved, but also that your heart is right with God. If your heart's not right with God, you already know where you're at. But make sure your heart is right with God and partake of the Lord's Supper with that right heart. It's the one thing that God says to make sure that you don't have anything between you and the Lord when you partake of the Lord's Supper, because you're highly insulting him when you approach the Lord's Supper without a right heart. You know, think on that as the Holy Spirit touches your heart today. And a hard thing to do, but a humble thing to do and a right thing to do is simply say, Lord, like David said, search me, try me, prove me, show me if there's any wickedness in me. In other words, lay yourself wide open, say, Lord, inspect me, tell me what you want me to see. Because he's not going to tell us everything, but he's going to tell us the things that he wants us to be aware of if there are anything standing between us and him. So examine yourselves and think on that as we go through the service. Obviously, the Lord's Supper is when we remember the sacrifice of our Lord, what he did for us on the cross. I don't think any of us can really appreciate what Jesus did for us, and it's in his entirety, right? I don't think, in our own minds, I think we all have our own picture of what Jesus looked like on the cross, but I don't think that we even grasp the horror of what Jesus looked like on the cross. We know that scripture says that he was disfigured, unrecognizable, and yet he took all of that out of love for you and I. And I always love, and you've heard me say it many times, because of us, right? Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We, you, us are his joy. Always. Is that grace? You bet. Because of our sin, as human beings, we distance ourselves from God. We were in a place that we were not passable, in an impassable place in our life. In other words, we couldn't have a relationship with God the Father because of our sin. We know that. But praise God, Jesus became sin that we might know the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he took our sin and not only put it on himself, but he became sin so that you and I don't have that on us and we can have a relationship with God. That's mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. But Jesus did this through his sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And he made the way to him now passable. In other words, that road was made plain, that if you want a relationship with him, with God, the way was provided through Jesus. When we believe in Jesus and who Jesus is, we know who he is now as a believer in Christ. We receive Christ as our Savior. You know, before you're saved, you kind of look at Jesus as a historical figure. Jesus did this. We hear the gospel. Did this on the cross. But you don't realize the is part, the I am alive, I am who I am. And when you receive Christ, then you know him. And what a wonderful gift that is, that God's grace, he's allowed us to actually know him, right? I mean, we can't walk into the president's office just off the cuff and say, hi, how you doing? And he's nothing compared. No president is compared to the wonder of who Jesus is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can not only approach him anytime we want to, step into his office, the open door, so to speak, the throne room, but we have been given the wonderful privilege of knowing him to where we can have him with us all day, every day, through faith in Christ, and we can walk with him if we choose to every day. And that's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So a sinful man having a relationship with God that's personal, one-on-one, forever, started at the moment you receive Jesus as your Savior. Is that love? Is that grace? That's God saying, I love you. That's not God saying, oh, well, you know what? You don't count. You're not valuable. You're not qualified. I see all this. I see all your failures. I see all your shortcomings. I see all that you are. So therefore, no way. No, God's love for us said, you know what? I want that relationship with you so much so that I'm going to pave the way by having my son die for you so I can have a relationship with you and you can have a relationship with me. These things are mind-boggling. And Scripture says that his ways are above man's ways. We don't think the way God thinks. None of us would sacrifice our child for someone else. Right? But God did. And so praise God for that. God's mercy and grace continues flowing to us even after the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, we receive the mercy of God. You know, we don't deserve to be saved. It's not anything that we've done. It's because of what Jesus did, right? And we don't deserve his blessings on us. That's his grace. And yet he gives those things to us, and it continues in every day of our life, whether we acknowledge him, whether we see the blessings or not. We need to praise God that he's involved in our life and never leaves our side, ever, no matter what track we're on. And Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus knows the intensity of temptation and the intensity of our weakness and failures. He knows that because he was tempted in every way possible. Now, I'm not saying that one day he was a drug addict, one day he was a pimp, one day he was this or that. No, because he never sinned, number one. And he wasn't in those certain environments. But in every way that we are tempted, he understands the psychology of what's going on in our heart spiritually and how difficult it is. And so he can empathize with us. People who put their faith in other gods, because there's only one true God. People who put their faith in idols or of worship. People who honor anyone or anything other than God to give them comfort just don't understand how great God is, because his love for us is so great that he knows the challenge of our flesh. And yet he never sinned. And so we can praise God for that, because we know that he can, Scripture says, we just read it, he can empathize with us because he knows what we're going through. And in going through that, he doesn't reject us. He understands us. And we know that he understands, not only because he's God, but because he's Jesus, who went through every temptation possible, every process psychologically possible to be tempted on a human level. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can always go to God for grace. What's grace? Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. No, grace is receiving what God wants to give us, right? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Okay? And so God wants to pour out his blessings on us, and we can go to God anytime we want to for that grace. God, I need your help. God, here's the situation. God, you know my heart. God, you know I'm up against this. God, here's my scenario. Whatever the case is, you and I, as God's children, have the marvelous privilege to walk up to God because he's in our heart, so to speak, walk up to him, approach him, confidently knowing that he's loving, that he's compassionate, that he's merciful, that he's gracious, and that he wants to hear our concerns and our problems, and he wants to step up for us and carry those for us and give us victory through those challenges. That's God's love, grace, and mercy in our lives. So we can always go to him, and he doesn't say, yeah, you know what, you only get 9 per month. You know, you don't get any more than that. You spent your quota for this month. You got to wait till next month. It's inexhaustible grace, inexhaustible mercy, inexhaustible love. We all stumble and fall into sin. We all make bad decisions. We sometimes even run the opposite direction of where God wants us to be. But God is always there for us. You know, I think that's one of the things that amazes me is we can be in such a defiant attitude and mode of running away from God and full knowledge of what we're doing and full rebellion, and God continues to just love us, and he doesn't kick us to the curb. He doesn't say, well, you little stinking brat, you know, and just say, well, this is what you deserve. No, he doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us grace, and he's merciful to us. And so he's always there, always loving, always caring, always understanding, always available. Our God, creator of heaven and earth, is always available because we know him through our faith in Jesus Christ. And he lives and is alive in our heart. Man, that's a wonderful praise. A wonderful praise that we have. We simply need to go to our Heavenly Father who sits on his throne and pray and receive his mercy and grace. You need to be willing to go to him and know that he's not going to knock our teeth in. Graphic images, but you know what I mean. Sometimes we feel like we're so upset with ourselves that we deserve to get whatever comes our way. We don't have to approach God that way because you know why? Jesus got what we deserved on the cross. Is that not humbling? I mean, he not just he became sin, but he took the wrath of God on him. He got what you and I deserve on the cross. We can go in full confidence to God anytime because of his love and mercy and grace. Jesus totally understands the battles we face and what we're going through in our life. And of course, you know and I know that he loves us no matter what. It's unconditional love. We're his children, and he will never stop loving us. That's why in these verses in Hebrews, it tells us that we can have confidence and feel safe to still approach the throne of mercy and grace. When we stumble, we are not abandoned. He is still right there waiting for us to approach him. He doesn't even have a scorn on his face. You know, as a kid, you do something wrong, you know your parents love you, you can go and talk to them, but you really don't know how they're going to react to you, right? You don't know if they're going to rub a little salt into the wound. You know, I told you so type stuff. God just receives us with that full love. Says, child, you're mine, and I love you, and I understand, and I'm here to help you, and I'm so pleased that you come to me. That's how the Lord sees us. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. So again, when we stumble, we are not abandoned. He's still right there waiting for us to approach him. So don't ever let the devil convince you that God doesn't want to hear from you because he's too ticked off at you. Because that's a lie. That's just a flat out lie. That's not how God works. Most of you probably know the parable of the prodigal son. I'll never forget years ago in my very first church, I preached on the prodigal son, and I had a lady stand up. She was so mad at me. She says, I hate that passage of scripture, and boy, it really offends me. And she was fit to be tied because I was preaching about the prodigal son. Obviously, she had some things to work out with God. But I love the prodigal son story because it went awry. That child went awry. And God was not just available to him, was he? But in the parable, we will see that he was watching and waiting and looking for that time when he comes back. And I love that. This is Jesus' way of confirming to us that God loves us and has mercy and grace to give us no matter how much we mess up. We will beat ourselves and kick ourselves to the curb ourselves. We do a real good number on ourselves. And sometimes that'll stop us from being able to approach God because we have convinced ourselves that we don't deserve it. And you know what? We don't deserve his love and grace, but his love and grace is always there. We should never buy into our own self-made lie that we don't deserve it, therefore God isn't going to give it, we can't approach him. Because that's the pits of hell talking to you. It's not God. God's saying, I'm watching. I'm fully aware. I know everything you're going through, every struggle, every failure, everything. Nothing's hid. I know you better than you know yourself. And so feel free. I want you to come to me. I want to read through part of the parable of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, verses 17 through 24. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, when he came to himself, in other words, when he was tired of being in the dire strait that he was in the mire and mud of his circumstance, starving to death, when he woke up and said, what in the world am I doing? Why have I taken this track? I know who my father is. You know who your father is. And we can go to him about anything. He'll never kick us to the curb. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I think it's interesting, sinned against heaven and before you. You know, heaven is holy. It's without sin. It's all completely in line with God and his holiness. And when we sin, it's an affront to heaven as well. But most importantly, to Jesus. Right? And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Oh, he already got there, didn't he? He already beat himself up and said, I'm not worthy to be your son. But the truth is, we're never worthy to be his son or daughter. We're only made a son and daughter out of his love for us, not because of who we are. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I just love that. He didn't yell at him and say, well, you stinking, rotten little kid, what do you think you've been doing? I've got a whole lot to unload on you and blah, 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 blah. No, he was looking at him with love and compassion and grace and with excitement and joy saying, now your heart is ready to come to me and I am so thrilled that you're coming to me. And he ran to him and he greeted him and that love was reassured and he just kissed him to death. Not literally. Literally kissed him, but not to death. Praise God for that. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Do you realize that when we are astray from God, when we are going our way in opposition to God or in rebellion to God, and we are embracing ourselves into things that are wicked and unacceptable to God, then we are embracing ourselves in a life of death, not of life. Because sin brings forth death. But Jesus brings forth life. And if we yield to him and love him, Jesus said, those who love me, obey me. Why? Because they love him. They want to please him. We want to obey the Lord. Not because we're uncontrolled slaves in that sense, but because we are slaves that have yielded ourselves to God with great joy to allow him to be Lord of our life. It's a choice. It's one thing to be saved and have a Savior. It's another thing to allow him to be Lord of our life. He's Lord in his position of authority, but to allow him to be Lord of my life in the sense that I am yielding to him, following him, and letting him have that authority over my life is a decision that each of us has to make every day of our life. And we have good days and we have bad days. We have those days where we are just not yielding to him, and we know it. And sometimes we know it and we don't care. But God is watching and he understands and he hasn't rejected us. He doesn't kick us to the curb. He's not fighting mad at us. He's just waiting. Waiting for that time to say, okay, you're now turning to me. And I'm right here for you because I love you. Nothing's changed. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. The end of this parable displays both God's mercy and grace. What did the father do? He waited for his son to come to him. You know, if you're forced to go to God, it's not genuine. But if you go with a humble heart like this servant, then it's genuine. And God sees your heart. He sees my heart. He sees our heart when we come to him in all genuineness and humbleness of spirit or broken spirit. You know, the broken spirit is a place of great victory. You need to understand that. A broken spirit is a place of great victory because it's there when we meet with God with that humbleness and God speaks so clearly to us. Nobody likes to be there, but the reward is when we're turning to him in the midst of that. And his love just radiates for us. He was watching for him even when he was far away. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him, right? Because he loved him. What type of relief was the prodigal son receiving? Wow, my dad is not just going berserk angry over me. He's loving me fervently. What security, what warmth, what healing. What joy to have that. The son repented of his sin. The father provided a feast for him. The father displayed mercy when he forgave the son who sinned, who really deserved punishment. If there ever comes a place, and I pray it never happens in our lives, where we say we're all good, we're not in a place when we don't see ourselves for who we are before God. You know, I've made it. I'm to that mature level in Christ that, you know, there's no sin in my life. No, we have to deal with it every day. The amazing thing is that God and his grace only reveals the things to us he wants us to know at the time that we can handle it so we can grow and change and be transformed. Do you follow what I'm saying? God will reveal things to us that he's not pleased with in our life to help us to grow out of that. But he definitely won't lay it all out of everything that we do that's wrong all at once. It would be, there'd be no hope. And so as we grow, he shows us more. Well, you used to do this, but now you're ready to hear this. You're ready to understand that this is where you need to grow from, because this is not the right perspective. And God continues in his grace and mercy to help us to grow in him as we yield our lives to him. The Father displayed grace when he gave the Son a feast when he did not deserve such a blessing. You know, when you're at the bottom and you turn and you look to God and you realize God's love for you and you realize the blessing when you meet up with God, what do? Part of you is just melts in humbleness before God. It's like, wow, God. And another part of you rejoices in, oh, look at my God. Look how great my Lord is. Look how much he loves me. I don't deserve it, but he gives it. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Praise God. And grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. God will give us more than what we comprehend, because he wants to bless each of us. And that mercy and that grace is inexhaustible. It is always there. It's not just when we receive Christ that we receive mercy and grace, but it's when we realize that in our walk with God, God is always showing mercy and grace to us. It's always, and we can ask for it. We can ask for it. And I praise God for that. This morning was a rough morning for me and maybe some of the others. And my mind was just, I said, God, first of all, help me to have the right perspective here. Help me to have the right heart. Help me to help think correctly. And it wasn't just this morning. I had a battle last night with things that God was dealing with me with, as far as not sin, but things that I was, the devil is pointing things out to get upset about ministry, point blank. And boy, he just kept putting and stoking the fire of frustration. Because I'd see one thing after another, and I'm just getting frustrated and discouraged and all this stuff. And then whatever. So this morning I said, God, there's no way I can preach. I can't preach anyways without you, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. It's you that I'm relying on. Number two, if I don't have a right attitude or right focus, it's definitely not going to help. So I need your help to have the right focus and the right attitude this morning to be able to serve as you called me to serve, because it's a little bit of a struggle right now, and I feel like I'm in a dire strait if you don't step in and pick me up. He did. He did. We can ask God for grace over our difficulties. Amen? We can say, God, this is what's going on. God knows what's going on, but he's pleased that we're talking to him about what's going on. And then we ask him, Lord, give me the grace that I need, because this is the struggle. And God says, okay, I'll give it to you. And as we recognize that, then we praise God for his tender, compassionate, loving mercy and grace for each one of us. And our hearts enlarge for him, and he's glorified. Praise God for that. Our God is so good to us. Just the gift of merciful forgiveness should be enough for us. But our loving God extends grace or unmerited favor to us too. His grace blesses us. By mercy, we are forgiven, and God's wrath no longer rests on us. By grace, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. As a result, we now can call him Father. I love the fact that I can call him Father. I rejoice in that. The thought of, man, God the Father is my heavenly Father. He's my Father. He's my Dad. He's my Father. And God, in all his greatness and all of his might and all of his glory and all that he is, has allowed me to have a relationship with him through his son. And he's my father. Wow. Is that mercy? Even more so, is that grace? Amen. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We can't follow God if we don't know him, if he's not in our heart. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You and I as believers in Christ Jesus are his children, and that will not change. That is forever wrapped up in his love, mercy and grace. The grace provided through God's adoption for us doesn't stop there. John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace. In other words, God's bounty of blessing only continues on our lives. The gift of the Holy Spirit and our adoption as children supplies us with an inexhaustible supply of grace. It doesn't mean that we are called to take advantage of God, because that would be sin. It means that God is telling us, look, my grace is endless towards you. My love and my mercy is endless towards you. I am always for you. I am not against you. And in that, we can rejoice. You might think of what John is saying as one gift of grace for a need ends. In other words, like I explained my testimony to you. Okay, that need's been met, that ends, right? And then a new gift of grace is supplied for the next need. That's how our walk is with God. We constantly rely on him and his grace, his favor, his goodness, his love. Leon Morris, a 1900 scholar and theologian, said, God's grace to his people is continuous and is never exhausted. Grace knows no interpretation and no limit. Interruption, excuse me. We can interpret it that, right? So we can praise God. How could we ever make it through this life as Christians without God's mercy and grace flowing from his throne toward us on a regular basis? Can't do it. We need God's grace and mercy all the time. But he's not surprised about that, is he? He knows that. And he is fully, what's the word? And he wants to give that grace and that mercy and give it freely and let it just flow toward us anytime we call on him. In fact, God will give us grace even when we don't call on him sometimes, and mercy. But he loves it when we call on him. If you feel like you're a little off track, like I was this morning, feeling a little off track, or maybe messed up royally, been there. Okay? God is right here waiting for you to approach him. Satan's whispering, boy, is he ticked off at you. Don't even dare go toward him. God saying, I'm right here. I love you just the same as always, and I'm not going to chew you out. I'm going to give you what you need to help you grow. God is right there waiting for us to approach him. Now is the best time to go to him. Let him wrap you up in your arms, in his arms of love. Ever need that? I've prayed many times for myself and for other people. And I've prayed, Lord, just wrap your arms around them. Or Lord, I just need you to wrap your arms around me. Or Lord, even though I'm a grown man and I feel a little foolish and a little embarrassed and a little bit, you know, shameful asking this, but I kind of feel like this little kid that just wants to be sucked up into your gut and be held close. But that's okay, because that's who God is. God loves us with a tender, compassionate, never-ending love. And he's always there for us. So let him wrap you up in his arms of love and extend his mercy and grace to you. And so before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. We're going to give anyone who has a need or opportunity to come forward to pray. It's not that it's a golden thing to come up and pray with me. But sometimes we just need, you know, there's an old saying, it's borrowed strength. You know what that means? It means when you can come up beside a brother or a sister in the Lord and have prayer together, does that not help fortify us? It's a borrowed strength. And so the invitation is one of saying, look, if you want me to pray for you for anything, I'm here for you to help you and to pray for you, to help extend that strength that you might need. You can approach God's throne here and request his mercy and grace in your life. You can seek him for help and forgiveness. You can also come forward to receive him as your Lord, or baptism, or membership. You know, maybe those things are on your mind and heart. Don't know. And come now to God's throne and prepare your heart to receive God's mercy and grace as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Remember what I said in the beginning, examine your heart. To be anything that you know that God is saying, that is what I want you to deal with me right now. That is what I'm asking you to acknowledge before me. That is what I want you to get straight with me. Make it right. And partake of the Lord's Supper with utmost due respect.